It's a beautiful day. Amen. God is good. He's given us life. He's given us so many blessings. And we need to honor Him, glorify Him. In the midst of all those blessings, we are also seeing many challenges. Our nation is dealing with regions of drought. And we are so pleased to have recent monsoon rains here in this area. But how many of you have seen the reports on Lake Mead? Way down. And it's really sad. This whole western region has been affected by droughts for quite some time. Many countries are suffering from drought. It seems to be part of the pattern for those different countries, affecting their land. And of course, with drought comes devastation to the crops. And with the devastation of the crops, that leads to poverty, starvation. And when you get to that point, those people who are without food, they're out begging, asking for help, or dying without food. Every day, all around our world, there are beggars seeking for help in some form or fashion. Drought's not the only cause for leading up to beggars. We see that in many countries, there are people born with handicaps, and they are driven to begging. Some kind of injury or addictions lead to begging. Other afflictions can lead to begging. It has also been found that some folks just would rather beg than work. They can do better, they think, in their mind by living off of other people. As we read our scriptures, one of the fundamental truths is that every single object of and creation belongs to one person, belongs to God. Psalm 104, which I had asked Brother Ted to read portions of it, like many other psalms, reminds us that God is the creator of all things. Everything belongs to God. As a matter of fact, verse 24 and following says that every creature of the sea wants to be fed by God. From the tiny plankton to the worms to the coral critters. I didn't know what to call them. Coral critters. Y'all know what a coral critter is. Even up to the mighty Leviathan. Now, there's an interesting creature. In Job chapter 41, it describes this sea creature that sounds exactly like what is depicted as a dragon, only he lives in the sea, and he breathes fire. And God created every creature, is the point of the scripture. Every creature. If God owns everything out there in the oceans, if God owns everything else, all the stars, all the earth, then it's logical that He also owns who? Us. Yep. If God owns it all, He feeds all those creatures of the sea, reasoning would lead us to believe that it is God who is the one who feeds every mouth on this planet. And that's exactly what Jesus taught. Matthew chapter 6, verse 26, Jesus talks there in the Sermon on the Mount that God feeds the birds and us. Verse 30, God clothes the vegetation and us. Back in verse 11, Jesus taught the disciples to pray. And we are to ask God for what? Our daily bread. And to be thankful for what God provides for us to eat. God is the source of it all. Only a proud and arrogant fool can think that they give themselves life, that they control the weather, that they make food to live on by their own ingenious creativity, and that they meet every need that they have. or that they provide the breath for themselves to breathe. The Lord gives everything, and He can take it away. The reality is that we are a world of beggars. We are dependent upon God. And we need to humble ourselves to realize and remember that we are dependent upon God. Every one of us. Jesus taught, seek first His kingdom, God's kingdom, and His righteousness, and then all of these things will be added to you, given to you. So the question today is, what are you begging for? What are you begging about? Who are you begging from? We usually don't think of ourselves as beggars, but we are dependent upon God. Would you pray with me? Father, I have a tendency in my heart when I see others out begging that I think that I'm so much better. I thank You that You have provided abundantly for myself, my family, for my brothers and sisters, for all of us. But help us to remember that we are dependent upon Your hand, and that it is by Your hand that we have anything at all. Even our very life is a gift from You. So as we look at this passage today, Father, help us to examine our hearts and our minds, our intentions, our goals, our dreams, and to put ourselves truly in Your hands and to walk according to the path that You would want us to walk. Lead us and guide us in Your righteousness, in Your blessings, and in Your truth as we follow Jesus. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. As I mentioned earlier, we've got poverty in the world. Poverty has been around, part of human life, the human story, since the beginning. If we go back and look in their text, and so let's just read our text to begin with to see what the circumstances are that leads me to this crazy sermon today that helps us to remember who we are. Acts chapter 3, we're going to be looking at the first 16 verses. Now Peter and John were going up to the temple at the ninth hour, the hour of prayer, and a man who had been lame from his mother's womb was being carried along, whom they used to set down every day at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, in order to beg alms of those who were entering the temple. When he saw Peter and John about to go into the temple, he began asking to receive alms. But Peter, along with John, fixed his gaze on him and said, "Look at us." And he began to give them his attention, expecting to receive something from them. But Peter said, "I do not possess silver and gold, but what I do have I give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ the Nazarene, walk." And seizing him by the right hand, he raised him up, and immediately his feet and his ankles were strengthened. With a leap he stood upward and began to walk. And he entered the temple with them, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God. And they were taking note of him as being the one who used to sit at the beautiful gate of the temple to beg alms. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. While he was clinging to Peter and John, all the people ran together to him at the so-called portico of Solomon, full of amazement. But when Peter saw this, he replied to the people, "Men of Israel, Why are you amazed at this? Or why do you gaze at us as if by our own power or piety we had made him walk? The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of our fathers, has glorified his servant Jesus, the one whom you delivered and disowned in the presence of Pilate when he had decided to release him. But you disowned the holy and righteous one and asked for a murderer to be granted to you, but put to death the Prince of Life, the one whom God raised from the dead, a fact to which we are witnesses. And on the basis of faith in his name, it is the name of Jesus which has strengthened this man whom you see and know, and the faith which comes through him has given him this perfect health in the presence of you all. Right there we can see that Peter was a Texan. Y'all. Well, so much for that bad joke. Poverty has been part of human history since the very beginning. The text identifies a man who had been a cripple from his birth, so the only way he could help sustain himself in a culture that was everybody was living hand to mouth, he had to do his part. And so the only thing he could do was to be carried to the gate every day and to beg for the mercy of people to give him alms, to give him a little bit of money out of the graciousness of their heart. But this is only one of many causes of the problem of poverty, this being crippled since birth. There are several reasons that poverty plagues our world. The curse of sin on Adam and Eve brought difficulties on all people, especially in the raising of crops. Remember, God's curse on Adam was, you will earn your living by the sweat of your brow, because there's going to be thorns, there's going to be thistles. And have any of you noticed that here recently? Yeah. I mean, the weeds are out there constantly fighting for the nourishment of the ground, and seems like they are faster growers than the good crops quite often. Hard work is required to keep a crop growing to come to full fruition. Genesis chapter 3, verse 17 through 19 tells us about that curse, and it has been afflicting humanity ever since. Shortly after that first curse, Cain suffered because he murdered Abel. And what was the curse put upon him? God removed the productivity of the soil totally from him. God said, you will be a wanderer the rest of your life. Now, how do you support yourself when you're wandering everywhere, looking, scavengering off the land? I mean, there's going to be times of feast and times of famine. And so his whole family suffered as a result of his sin in murdering his brother. He was under that curse the rest of his life. He could not stop to farm because the ground would not produce for him, because God cursed him for what he had done. Some poverty is a result of the personal abuses. Proverbs chapter 23, verse 21 warns about three abuses that we people do to ourselves. The first one is being a heavy drinker of alcohol. Now, the Scripture never does forbid alcohol, but it warns us, you overdo it, you'll pay the price. And Proverbs chapter 23, verse 1 is one of those passages. I appreciated Brother Ted kind of brought that out in the reading of Scripture this morning. Don't overdo the wine. There is a price to pay if you overdo it. Moderation is always important. The second thing that there in Proverbs 23 warns us about is being a glutton, overeating. And so, medical professionals tell us that today. Don't overeat. There's a certain level that you need to say enough is enough. Now, I have a trouble because my eyes are bigger than my stomach sometimes, and I look at something, boy, that sure looks good. That looks good, good, good. And then I have trouble because I have been taught like a good little boy to clean my plate. And so I will overdo it quite often. God warns against that. Don't be a glutton. The third item that Proverbs warns us about is sleeping too much. Sleeping too much. Oh, that bed feels so good, and it's so cold outside in the wintertime. You don't want to get up. You don't want to get out of your bed. In the summertime, it feels so good. The air conditioner blowing on you, or the nice breeze in the morning. You just don't want to get up. Laziness. God warns us about those things and many, many other things that we can fall into that will lead to our poverty. These and other selfish practices are to be avoided by those who want to please God. God is the one who gives us talents to use, to support ourselves, and also to do extra to help people that are truly in need, like people who are crippled from birth and can't take care of themselves or have other handicaps, injuries, etc. God warned King Solomon that there are some troubles that will come from heaven in order to convince people to return back to him. Sometimes we are blessed so much that we think it all came because we worked so hard. Look at everything that we did. And God says, hold it here. Where did it come from? It came from heaven. And God warned Solomon, there will be times I will pull back my blessings so that you will be in need, you will be in want in order to convince your heart to remember where everything comes from. If people will repent and return to God, then he will send his healing to the land. Sometimes I wonder about our conditions, our situations, if God's not trying to wake up America to return back to him. No matter what the cause is, we always need to focus our life on God. And we need to truly encourage people to follow our national motto, to put our trust in the Lord God, not in the God of money, not in the God of power, not in the God of selfishness, but in the Lord God. Amen? Then he will send healing to our land. We can also learn contentment through poverty. Oh, what are you talking about there? Remember the Apostle Paul describes in Philippians 4, verse 11 through 13? He said, I've learned to be content in whatever state I am. He's not talking about whether he's in Florida or Texas or North Dakota, whatever condition, poverty or abundance. And quite often, he and the other the apostles were suffering from need, depending on God for their daily bread, because they were not working any longer. They were out preaching and teaching the gospel, depending on the support of people around them. And I just say that I appreciate your support of Sally and me. We couldn't do this without somebody supporting us. Thank you for your support, your giving. Because your giving not only supports Sally and me, it also helps support our missionaries. And it also helps help people around in the community, helps people within our congregation. So we need to do our part in continuing to trust in God and giving our tithes and offerings. But when we are in want, learn to be content with what God provides. He is the giver of all things, and the apostles learned that lesson of learning to trust in God for their daily portions which God provides. Have we learned to be content in every circumstance, in abundance, and in need? Maybe that's one of the lessons we need to learn. There are many other reasons for poverty. Scripture talks about, addresses different needs and concerns. Moving on. Our second point that I wanted to deal with is that poverty and need plagued the first century peoples. It was a major, major problem for the first century church. Disease, handicap, sickness, hunger, and need were very real to Jesus and to those who were around him. The first century peoples were struggling. Several evidences of these poverties are mentioned in the scripture. The medical knowledge and the treatments were very limited in the first century. They had no hospitals and very few doctors. Now we know in the scripture that Luke was a doctor, but how big was his medical bag? It's whatever he could put on in a little pouch and whatever he could fit into his head. The miracles of Jesus identified him as the Messiah, healing every kind of disease and every kind of sickness among the people. Jesus got people's attention because he could really heal people of their problems. He healed blindness. He healed the deaf. He healed the dumb. He healed the lepers. He even raised the dead. That would get your attention, wouldn't it? Yeah. So Jesus coming around with the power of God to heal all those various types of ailments, problems, even death, that got the people's attention. Most people were financially poor. The common cash wage for most workers, including the Roman soldiers, was the denarius. Now, I would have been privileged. Somebody gave me some sample coins here a few years ago. And here is a sample denarius. It's not a real one. It's a copy. So you can't go out and spend it. Okay? It's about the size of a dime, and it's made out of silver, the original one. It's the small one right here. And that was a person's daily wage. But with that little tiny coin, you could buy enough food for the day. Now, we can't imagine that. Going out with a dime and buying enough food for the day, that doesn't compute. But in the time of Jesus, that little tiny coin was enough to buy enough food for you and your family for a day. If you want to look at these later, you're welcome to. Another factor that the people were poor is that they had to pay a temple tax, which is a half a shekel. That coin right there, which is about the size of a quarter, made out of silver, this is a copy, was the temple tax. My mic is trying to run away from me. And that was required of every person, every male that went to the temple. You had to pay the temple tax. 2 shekels. It was worth 2 days' wages, 2 denarius. So you'd have to work 2 days and go without food just to save enough to go to the temple and pay your temple tax. How many of you went 2 days without food in order to come to church today? How much money would that be in your financial world? It would be quite a bit, wouldn't it? You remember the story about Jesus and Peter going up to the tax table to pay their taxes, and they didn't have any money. And Jesus told Peter, go down to the Sea of Galilee, throw in a hook, and the first fish you catch, bring it out, and what? You'll find a shekel in the mouth of the fish. The shekel is that one. It's worth 4 days' wages. Peter opened the fish's mouth, first one he caught, and there lay a shekel to pay the temple tax, half a shekel per person. That makes one half plus one half equals one shekel. And Peter took that fishy smelly coin and paid their tax. The tax collector's tax, not the temple tax. The tax collector's tax. They still had to come up with more money for the temple tax. Everywhere they turned, people were saying, "Give me your money." The people were poor. Roman occupation and taxation plagued the people. Tax collectors from the local people, from the local community, were hired by the Romans to tax their relatives, friends, and cousins. And what did the people think of those tax collectors, those publicans? They hated them because they knew everybody who lived in the village. They knew how much everybody was making, and they could dive into your books, into your pocketbook, into your money pouch, and say, "That part's mine." They could set any fee they wanted to, pay off the Romans, and keep all the rest for themselves. How would you like it for the IRS to show up at your house and say, "I want that, and that, and that, and that. That's mine today." Wouldn't be very fun, would it? But that's what the Jews had to live under, with the Roman oppression. They constantly were being monitored by their so-called cousin to see how their financial affairs were going, and they had to pay and pay and pay. There was no public-sponsored relief system. Today, we put our trust in government programs called Medicaid, Medicare, IRAs, savings accounts, trust funds, right? But in the first century, none of that existed. The lame man was dependent upon someone to carry him to the temple. He would lay there all day and beg for whatever people would graciously give to him. And then somebody had to go pick him up again and carry him back home at night. And then they'd do it all over again the next day. Back and forth to the temple, morning and night, relying on the compassion of donors. Poverty and need continue today. We see it all around us, don't we? Even with all the money that we can save up, in spite of all the programs, all the prosperity that American society has provided, inflation escalates, prices, goods are hard to come by, they don't get shipped to the stores, cost of housing escalates, especially in the city, I noticed that. And there is need everywhere we look. Sickness continues. Disease continues. Frailties continue. Death continues in spite of all that we have learned. We have a long list of people in need on our prayer list, don't we? And in our room right now, we have a lot of people who have needs, don't we? So the creativity of mankind has not solved all that. There are still needs. And where do we turn in our time of need? Who do we beg from? We turn to God. And God sends relief from all that destroys us. Do we believe that? That God sends relief from all that destroys us. God has always been concerned for people. We are made in His image, and He wants to have a good relationship with every single person. God separated Adam and Eve from the two trees in the Garden of Eden. Why did He do that? They ate from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And God said, I need to get them out of there because there's another tree, a tree of life. And if they eat from that tree of life, they will continually be in this deprived condition forever. Did God want humanity to be in a deprived, horrible condition forever? No. So He took Adam and Eve away from the threat of living in depravity forever. He separated them from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil so they wouldn't learn anymore. Aren't you glad they only ate one fruit? What would have happened if they just survived off of that tree of knowledge of good and evil? How horrible would the world be if evil reigned continually? Some of us wonder, well, it seems like it's that way right now. No, it could be a lot worse. Be thankful for the good things that we do have. God's love and His grace intervened to save Adam and Eve with the promise that He was going to send a Redeemer. Remember Genesis 3:15? That was part included in the midst of all the punishment. God gave them that ray of hope that there would be a seed of woman that would crush the head of the serpent. God spoke to the people who would listen to His directions, to Noah, Abraham, Isaac, and on down through time. And then God spoke to us directly through Jesus, His Son. God provided His perfect laws through Moses. These rules include moral laws, worship laws, government laws, medical laws. Some of those laws were revolutionary treatments of sickness and disease. It's kind of scary when you go back and read the medical treatments of the world of 1400 BC. They were using, I'll just put it this way, really dirty stuff in order to treat human disease. Did it fix it? No. So when God comes along and says, whenever you have a skin disease, you need to isolate. Whenever you have this problem, you need to wash with water. And several other guidelines that God gives in the law, it was revolutionary. They'd never heard of it. As a matter of fact, a lot of our modern medicine, the practices that are used by doctors today, are based upon what the Mosaic Law gave to the children of Israel. It's only when we started following the Mosaic Law that medicine in the 1800s began to improve to the point where it is today, including washing your hands in clean water, running water, and isolating those who are truly sick with specific diseases. Sending a Redeemer was God's greatest gift for mankind. He came in the fulfillment of God's promises spoken time and again throughout the Old Testament. When it serves God's purposes, the power of God will even address the physical needs, often through miraculous ways. The lame man in our text was healed by God's power through the work of the apostles. This guy was 40 years old. He had never walked. He was born lame. And God worked through Peter and John, a miracle that got the attention of everybody in the temple. And was that where Peter and John ended the miracle? No, they used the opportunity to remind people that there is a Savior, Jesus Christ, who not just sets us free from our physical need, but our spiritual corruption. Jesus came to set us free from the corruption of sin and death itself. The greatest relief for people is that every person who believes and obeys Jesus as the Savior is promised life beyond the grave. It's not just this world, but God has an eternity He wants to give to every person. Peter and John used that healing of that lame man for an opportunity to preach about the need of spiritual salvation. I think that we need to do that today. When good things happen for us, for the people around us, remind people because that it is from God's blessings that we have health, that we have life, that we have good things, because He wants to have us live with Him forever. Jesus promises new life, abundant life, everlasting and eternal life. He gives us power over deception, temptation, corruption, and death. He is our shepherd. He is guiding us daily if we will follow. Jesus seals us with His Holy Spirit, and we are adopted as God's child through Jesus Christ. Our eternal Father of light and life wants us to live with Him forever. That's good news. Christians are no longer beggars for food. We depend upon God. We are blessed. I don't know if any of you caught in the very first song we sang. It talked about us being bakers at one time. But because of Jesus, we have been provided for. God takes care of us. We need to give Him praise and thanks. It may be one bowl of food today. It may be in abundance. But it all comes from where? Comes from God, and He is faithful. He gives us shelter, He gives us life, but we are His children, and we're living for God through Jesus, our Lord of life. Our relationship with our Creator has been restored through Jesus. Never forget that the perfect Almighty God owns everything. But everyone who asks, pleads, and begs for forgiveness through the sacrifice of Jesus and obeys His commands are born new people, children of God. What a blessing. Are we still beggars? Are we still depending upon ourselves, the government, another person? Or are we putting our trust in God, the giver of all good things? If you need to make a commitment to the Lord, I encourage you to talk with the elders or myself about getting your life straight with Jesus. And if you're interested in joining the church, we're going to be getting a class together here in the very near future for your introduction to the church, family, the belief system. And if you're interested in that, talk to me and we will get that date ironed out here in the very near future. Okay? Let's have a word of prayer. Thank You, Father, for Jesus. We thank You for the love that You pour out upon us. We thank You that grace and mercies are abundant and available to all who humble themselves to You through Jesus. I thank You for the privilege of knowing You, being introduced many, many years ago. Father, help all of us to continue to walk in Your walk, in Your path, in Your righteousness. You give abundantly, and You're able to withhold. So, Father, let us put our trust in You and celebrate You for Your goodness. Be with us as we go out to represent You, to remind people around us that they need You as well. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.